2 Timothy, before Paul dies, John Mark, he had forgiven John Mark. And this thing that had been such a friction between Barnabas and Paul. Do you know who Paul asked for in 2 Timothy? He said, please, please bring John Mark when you come. And sometimes we think, well, that relationship's down the tubes. Never see them again. Hey, don't say things like that, because God is so good. He knows exactly the timing. He knows how much time there needs to be between, you know, you get into an argument with a friend. There needs to be times of healing. And do you believe that time really does heal?
Nope.
You don't?
I think
some aspect of time.
Well, let me say it this way. If time was a healer, you wouldn't need God.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Now, I think in a physical sense, your body is set up with natural laws for healing. But on the emotional, spiritual plane, unless there is a line drawn. And I have some friends that I have a great difficulty with them because they've never brought a bunch of things to closure in their families. Families all are always a mess because dad didn't say to them at some point, no means no. And now here these kids are adults. No still doesn't mean no. It means maybe. It means it's up for negotiation. It's like the little kid we saw in Walmart the other night. We were in the line to check out. He grabbed something off the, you know, the display there, and his mother said no. And I thought she meant it.
Now, this we were standing for about 10 minutes.
For about
so this
10
little
minutes.
Kid was racing around, yeah. Twirling around, jumping up and down, going. Now, he'd run away from his mom for a little while, wouldn't ever put the thing on the shelf, but come back to her. No, didn't I tell you no? Come back to her again after about 2 or 3 minutes,
right.
Showing her the thing. Didn't I tell you no? Well,
guess what?
He knew the game.
He ended up with that, and then his whole countenance changed. And then he was at peace, and he was leaving. And I guess she was the hero because she finally bought the thing for the kid. I think that's tragic.
Oh, I know. I'm laughing. I know I'm laughing. But
before,
it's just
before she gave in, I was ready to go up and say, Mom, hang in there.
I know. Go for it,
before
Mom,
I got to say that, she'd already given in and bought this thing for this kid. Teaching him really, really all the wrong things we could say.
Really, she
But you know your Heavenly Father won't do that. He can outlast you until you've learned your lesson.
That's
and
right.
I want to say this, Barb. Sometimes the loss has been repetitive. It happened back, say, 10 years ago, and then it happened 2 years ago, and the person somehow has not learned. And although we're the ones that create the loss in our life when we cooperate with the evil one or we don't have good financial practices, we're not good bookkeepers, we don't pay the bills on time, and pretty soon the roof caves in over our heads. And if you look at that, probably the same pattern was repeated in the second loss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we'd say, you're not learning here, young man. You need to go to the Lord and ask him, what am I supposed to learn here? I have repeated the same event, and here I'm in a deeper hole than I was 10 years ago, and I've just gone through another loss.
Well,
and we say, well, there's no hope for a person. No, there is hope for a person like that. But they have to change some things.
Yes, and restoration is a word that God loves. He's a restorer. He truly is. And the word restore means to bring back better than it was before. And Darren, sometimes, you know, people remodel their homes, and they make them better than they were from the very beginning, than they were at the very beginning. They include better plumbing, better wiring. The wiring fact is wiring for every room so that you can have stereo music in every room.
Or they've got insulated windows.
Yes.
Got their utility costs.
So the last state of that is better than the first. Well, here in Joel 2, we read where Israel was, all the trees of the field had dried up, the rejoicing had dried up, they girded themselves with sackcloth. They cried all day long. They spent the nights in sackcloth. And sackcloth was a kind of a, it was like a gunny sack material that was, it was like a real prickly kind of material. And you weren't comfortable in it. Sackcloth is not something smooth and soft. It was something that kept you reminded of the fact that you were fasting and you were praying. And here, God is saying, proclaim a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land. Has not food been cut off before our eyes? Gladness and joy from before the house of the Lord. Lord, what are we going to do here? We're praying and we're fasting. And God does something wonderful, Darren. And he says, rejoice, O sons of David. And this is in chapter 2. And be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain. Praise God. God is the one who's brought Holy Spirit to our lives to deliver us. And the threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine. Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, and the creeping locust, and stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. Some of you listening to this think that you have just been stripped of everything. Everything has eaten up everything in your life. But I'll tell you what, he says that he will restore what the worm has eaten and what the worm has devoured. He will bring back better than it was before, Darren.
Okay, I think now when we have those losses, we need to decide, that's temporary. I'm moving on because the Lord is helping me here. And see, you can make a choice to be sour, to be poor me, to run around telling everybody. In fact, we were invited to a Christmas party one time, and to, you know, it was kind of a mixer deal where we were to meet friends of the host, and we sat down, and this couple started in saying, well, we want to tell you why we don't have any money. And they started into this long diatribe, this long story about how their losses have been so great and so on. They had chosen to be sour. They had chosen the labels of losers. They were saying, poor me. Now, let me tell you, you can choose that or you can choose hope. And if I were around you, I'd be bugging you to say, listen, you're not without hope. You're not without options. Come on.
That's right.
And I would do my best to get you convinced to turn around, to turn your attitude around, your value structure around, and say, now, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? Well, yes, Brother Darren, I do. But what?
There's always that but, isn't
there? Always that but,
yeah.
You know. And I heard an interview the other day, and in fact, this man was on the air, and he says, where's the but? And he was expecting there to be an exception. In fact, he was an author, and he'd written a book, and this lady was saying, I really like your story, and he was very cautious. He'd been through these interviews before, and he said, where's the but? And I thought she was going to have one, too. She said, I don't have one. I just want you to know I enjoyed the book. Now, sometimes we get two or three compliments, and then comes the butt. And you realize you're about ready to get butted around the room. You know, you wonder if you're talking to people or billy goats. Mm-hmm. And you know what you have to do, folks? If they won't listen to you, then you need to get a new frame of reference. And if they're the ones that are saying, as long as you live, you'll always be a loser. As long as you live, you'll always be broken. Whatever you touch is going to just turn sour and just turn rotten. That's the history of your life. Now get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. Don't buy the label. That's what I'm telling you. Don't buy the label. Remember this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old is gone, the new has come. You've become a new creation in Jesus Christ. Go on down to the 17th verse. It says, Jesus became sin for you that you might become the very life nature of God. It says righteousness, but it means life nature of God. Now,
that's
if you're
right.
The life nature of God, you're not a loser.
That's right. Look at Jesus, Darren. Here he is. He's talking about, he's setting his face toward Jerusalem. He knows there that he's going to go through the agony of a crucifixion. He already knows that. And yet in John, we read in John 6:39, all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. Here is Jesus that in Galatians, Paul is talking that he became a curse for us. He became the curse. He took the shame on the cross. He became a curse for us. And yet Jesus is saying here, I lose nothing. I lose nothing, but I raise it up. And he says also, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Now, if you look at loss in that way, Father God, that you would turn it together for good. And here it says in Romans 8:28, that all things, all, A-L-L, all things work together for good to those that love God. You've got to believe that all things do work together to those who love God. And Darren, if I didn't have some of those verses like you've been quoting, my goodness, I would be in the dumpster. But I'll tell you what, we are above the circumstances. Though the fig tree should not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, though there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my Savior, because he has set me on a high place and established me, and I'm not under my circumstances anymore. I'm over my circumstances. Hallelujah.
Okay, here's what I do. Let's say that you have great loss. Maybe you had a bankruptcy, and they took everything, as they say, but your birthday, okay? In other words, we would say, financially, you're dead broke. Well, All right. Let's assume that that's true for the moment. Let's say it's